So, well, Christmas was just a few days ago. What'd you get? The traditional gift is fuzzy slippers. Anybody get slippers for Christmas? Just a few people. One of these years, I'd love to have a slippers parade, you know, just come in your slippers the Sunday after Christmas. Another traditional gift is pajamas and robe. Anybody get pajamas and robe? Okay, a lot more on that. All right. How about electronics? All right, tablet, cell phone, anything that plugs in, charges up, runs on batteries, electronics. Okay, wow. Looks like we got a good take this Christmas. And it's almost the end of the year, which means that if you think about it, every day is a gift. And so throughout the entire year of 2014, we've been unwrapping a gift every day, because as God gives us the day, it's like a gift that we unwrap. And so what'd you get in 2014? Some of you got married in 2014, so you got a spouse. How many folks got married in 2014? All right, woo! You got a husband. You got a wife. How about a baby? Anybody get a baby in 2014? Have a baby or a grandbaby? Okay, there we go. That's great. It's a wonderful gift, the best gift of all. And 2014, make a new friend, get a new job, all these kinds of great gifts that maybe you opened in 2014. It went by fast, didn't it? It went by fast. You kind of come to the end and you go, wow, where did that go? Where did the time go? We're always shocked at the end of the year. How did it get so late so soon? That's what Dr. Seuss asked. How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December came before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get so late so soon? That's Dr. Seuss. Dennis Waitley said, time is an equal opportunity employer. Each human being has exactly the same number of hours and minutes every day. Rich people can't buy more hours, scientists can't invent new minutes, and you can't save time to spend it on another day. Even so, time is forgiving and fair. No matter how much time you've wasted in the past, you still have an entire tomorrow. And that's where our hope lies, isn't it? In tomorrow. Tennyson said, hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come. Is hope smiling at you as we're entering 2015? When we stand at the door of 2015 hopeful, hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come. What will 2015 be like for you? Well, we're hoping for the best. We're hoping for things to happen to us that are wonderful and fantastic, but really we have no idea what to expect. Our hope really lies in God's guiding presence. That's what Psalm 23 is all about, God's guiding presence. That's the promise of the Scriptures. We stand at the threshold of the year to come, ready to take our first steps into the unknown. We take courage that our way is marked out by someone who walks just ahead. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The latest translation says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I like the Living Bible that says it in kind of a positive way, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. That's what I love about the song Jolene sang, you are restoring me. Isn't that great? He restores my soul. Latest translation is, he refreshes my soul. Say that. Right. That's wonderful. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Say that. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now we're starting in a journey. We've gone to the pasture. It's nice and green. There's water to drink. But now he's going to guide us somewhere, and he's going to guide us through something. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The latest translations say, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Say that. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. I asked Dr. Youngblood, who was on the translation team that made that change, I said, well, why did you change it from valley of the shadow of the death to the darkest valley? And he said, well, that's what it says. Okay. One commentator called it the deepest gloom. Even though I walk through the deepest gloom. Say that. Even though I walk through the deepest gloom, the shadowlands, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Say that. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Changes from he makes me lie down, he leads, he restores. Now it's even more personal because we're in the dark place. You, isn't that wonderful? You are with me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Say that with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We've gone through the valley, and now we're arriving at the palace where there's a great banquet taking place. It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Say that. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Say that again. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've gone on a journey, haven't we? We've started in the pasture, we've gone through the valley, and we've arrived at the palace. From the pasture to the palace, you have to go through that darn valley. And we've been through it, haven't we? Psalm 23, it's life's journey, it's your life, it's my life. And the message is essentially, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. That's the message of Psalm 23. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to go smoothly. Sometimes life is not easy or fair or trouble-free. Sometimes it's devastating for us. Those who've lost loved ones in 2014, when you opened that package, it was very devastating for you and difficult and dark. If you have it in your head that life must be perfect and comfortable and fulfill your every desire for everything to be all right, then you don't know about life, because life isn't that way. You don't know about Psalm 23. Grandmothers know about Psalm 23. My grandmother lived Psalm 23. She used to have kind of a running commentary on the difficulties of life. It's always something, she'd say. In other words, life consists of an infinite number of setbacks. It's always something. It's always another setback. But that's okay. She'd say with a smile and a southern saying, she'd just kind of put everything at ease. She'd say, well, it's always something. And she'd smile. And that's Psalm 23. Not everything goes smoothly. Sometimes circumstances are downright devastating. Even so, it's all right. It's all right. How can that be? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And I have everything that I really need. And nothing can take that away. I divide the psalm into three sections: the pasture, the valley, the palace. And in the pasture, we learn something about God, that he is our provider. In the valley, we learn that he is our protector. And in the palace, we learn that he is our loving host. So let's look a little bit closer at these three ideas about who God is. In the pasture, he's our provider. In these simple images, The psalmist describes the nature of our relationship with God, who is more than just the man upstairs. If you've come here this morning, maybe it's been a while since you've been in church, and your experience with God is sort of thinking of him as kind of the man upstairs, we've got great news for you, because he's more than that. I remember going to visit someone at the hospital, and they were recovering from a very serious surgery, and just recovering remarkably. Even the doctor came in and he said, "I'm just amazed at how well you're doing." He said, "You must really have connections with the man upstairs." You know, ha, ha, ha. And I thought, my goodness, you know, here's a man who knows so much, but yet he knows so little about what's really important. He knows so much about the human body that he can perform surgery on a person. And you know, just in amazing ways, but he knows nothing about the creator of the human body and how to have a relationship with him. I'm here to give you the greatest news of all, that God is not just rumbling around upstairs, you know, this sort of mysterious figure that throws down lightning bolts every once in a while and shakes you up. God is a lot more than that. He is your shepherd, and you can know him intimately and have a real relationship with him. If you haven't already, turn in your Bible to Psalm 23. Do you know God as your shepherd? Do you? Do you know God as your shepherd? He's the kind of shepherd that tends his flock. Like a shepherd, he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. The image here is the shepherd taking his sheep to the best places to eat and drink and rest. The soul refers to our whole body, our mind, our spirit, the whole us. He provides clothes and shelter and food and belonging and security and love. He provides closeness and purpose and meaning. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I read a book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a classic book by a guy named Philip Keller, who was for a period of his life a shepherd. And he said there's four main things that he needed to provide his sheep in order that they would be at peace enough so that they would lie down. If any of these are lacking, the sheep will not lie down. They'll be up and alert, you know, not willing to relax. One is he has to remove all fear. In other words, if they feel threatened by anything, really, they will not lie down. He talked about one time this little Pomeranian dog arrived at the ranch, and out of the car came this little yapping dog, you know, and all the sheep were alert and they were running away. You know, I mean, here's these sheep, a little dog, yap, 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 and the sheep were running away. He realized that it doesn't matter what, you know, it could be anything like that, but he has to completely remove all fear, make sure that they feel safe, the sheep feel safe. The second thing is that there's a lot of inner conflict in a flock. I don't know if you knew that, but a lot of the older ewes, the female sheep, would want to express dominance. And so they'd rear their heads back and straighten out their legs and go running and bumping into the other sheep. And if there's any kind of conflict in the flock, then the sheep would not lay down. The third thing is aggravation. There's a lot of bugs out there in the pasture, and if any of them got bothering the sheep, they would not lay down. And the fourth thing, as you can imagine, is hunger. They had to have a full tummy. So if the shepherd was a good manager of his sheep, he would make sure that those four things were taken care of, and then they could relax and lay down. Isn't that wonderful? And God does that for us too. He takes care of, makes us feel safe, makes it so that we can feel comfortable enough to lie down. And he restores our soul. A sheep that is downcast is one that is, believe it or not, turned upside down like a turtle. Philip Keller says that sometimes his sheep would get pregnant, or they would get so full of wool that they were top heavy. And they would, you know, kind of stumble into a little depression in the pasture, and before they knew it, they were upside down, their little legs sticking up like this. And they go, ah, ah. So there's a lot of sheep out there, and they all come in after being out on the pasture, and he's counting his sheep, you know, 98, 99, Where's Margaret? You know, I lost her. So he'd think, oh no, she's been cast down. She's upside down. So he's running around the pasture looking for little sheep out there somewhere. And all of a sudden in the distance, he sees legs sticking up. Can't turn over. He runs. He's excited. On the one hand, he's kind of, you know, nervous because actually a sheep could die upside down. All of their innards would, I guess, go the wrong direction or something, and they could suffocate that way. So he's concerned. He runs after her as fast as he can. When he arrives there, he starts slowly turning her over on her side and then rubbing her legs and getting this ewe lamb up on its feet. And it would stumble a little bit, but then he would get it back and it was back with the flock again. So how many of us have felt like that, cast down? Peter felt cast down after he denied the Lord. Being cast down is being in a place where we feel like we failed. We feel like we're just, our whole world is upside down. We need to be turned right again. We need to be restored for our shepherd to rub our legs and tell us it's okay and it's going to be all right. Don't worry. And I'll set you right again. I'll set you right again. So he refreshes, he restores my soul. The focus here is on peace. It's that inner tranquility when we're in the green pasture and the quiet waters, when everything's taken care of. You'll never find it unless the shepherd leads you there. If you're looking for that green pasture, you're not going to find it unless your shepherd leads you there. We want to find it. We want it. We work really hard to get there. Jesus talked to a rich man who thought he'd found green pastures. In fact, his fields had produced so much that he had more money than he needed, more product and money than he knew what to do with. So he built bigger barns and he put all that stuff in there. And then finally, when he built the bigger barns and he stuffed them full of food, he had this great retirement account. He said, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." He said, "I've found my green pasture." But God said to him, "You fool. You have so much," like the doctor you who knew so much. "You have so much, but you have so little of what's really important. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And Jesus said, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. My life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. Can you say that with me? My life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. That's not the green pasture. What does my life consist of? Closeness with my shepherd. My life consists in closeness with my shepherd. Say that with me. My life consists in closeness with my shepherd. The green pasture that we so often find is artificial turf, and the quiet water is nothing but a mud puddle. The green pastures and quiet waters that we find by following our shepherd are real. It's real peace. It's soul-satisfying peace that death cannot take away. The next part of the passage, we find ourselves going into a difficult time in life. "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Our shepherd is a good shepherd. He guides us in the right paths. If you've ever been on a hike, you know how important it is to stay on the right path. If you get off the right path, what happens? You might get lost, or you'll stumble, or you might fall off a cliff or something. These are paths of righteousness. It's the right path. It's the path that God intended for us. God guides us in that path, and we keep to that path. And then the next line pulls us up short. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley." It's possible that even though our good shepherd is guiding us along the right path, we still go through the darkest valley, the deep gloom. Even though our shepherd is guiding us along the right path, we still go through the darkest valley, the shadowlands. We often assume that if we're on the right path, that everything's going to be smooth sailing. But here's what the psalmist is telling us, and it's a profound truth. Don't assume that you're on the wrong path just because the way is dark, difficult, rocky, and lonely. Just the opposite. The right path can be full of sorrow. It can be difficult. Jesus Christ himself bears out this truth. He never varied from God's right path for his life. Not one step to the left, not one step to the right. He stayed right on that path, and yet he endured terrible pain. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And if you've experienced grief, if you're acquainted with sorrow, then you have a good company in that difficult, dark valley. You're still on the right path. Don't be afraid that God is somehow taking you somewhere where you shouldn't be. Just stay right in the path. Go through it. God will guide you through as his shepherd. He will be with you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. The shepherd had two items, a rod for protection. It was like a club. Philip Keller said that when he grew up in Africa, some of the young boys, when they were first beginning to, you know, experiment with being a boy, they would go out and cut themselves a club, you know, and they'd whittle it, and it would last the rest of their life. You know, they'd have this club the rest of their life, and they would practice throwing it at things. And they could kill a rabbit, you know, at 20 feet or 20 yards or whatever. They get very accurate with this club. That's their rod. Their staff, on the other hand, has a little hook on it, and it's meant to guide the sheep, okay? And it's meant also to rescue them. If a sheep had fallen somewhere where he couldn't get, he'd reach down that staff and hook that staff around that little lamb or something and pull it up close to himself. The staff was something beautiful where it not only guided the sheep, but it also meant his presence. He would sometimes tap the sheep just to let the sheep know that he's there. I'm still here. I'm still here. And he draws the sheep close with his staff. So he provides not only protection with the rod, but his presence and guidance with the staff. And God does the same thing for us as our shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the pasture, God is our provider. And what does he provide? Peace. In the valley, God is our protector. And what does he protect us from? Fear and loneliness. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. People, if you've been through something sorrowful this year, remember that you're not alone. Even though the times of aloneness come and you may feel lonely, remember that your shepherd is there with you. He is with me, and he will guide me. With his rod and his staff, they comfort me. So the third area, where are we going through this valley? We're going to a palace. Now, wait a minute. Do sheep go to palaces? We're not sheep, though, are we? I mean, we're like sheep, but I tell you, when I want to sit down at a banquet, I don't want a lot of green grass in front of me. I'm hoping that the host is going to prepare for me things that I enjoy. The sheep may like green grass, but I hate to admit it, sheep, lamb chops, and prime rib, and roast chicken, and lovely bits of pastry, and cakes, and fruit, and vegetables, and all kinds of things that a loving host would spread out for me at a banquet. So the next part is, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I've feared my enemies my whole life. They have wanted to throw me down and destroy me and kill me, but my shepherd is bringing me to a place where I'm the guest of honor. This is a banquet. He's the host, but I'm the guest of honor. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. It's the idea of the host is going to bless me. I want you to imagine for a second going into a beautiful banquet room in a palace that's just unimaginably gorgeous inside. The lights are lit up. There's tapestries on the walls and paintings. There's chandeliers coming down from the ceiling that are all lit up. And there's music playing in this wonderful banquet room. And you see a smorgasbord of food laid out on the table. And there's lots of people there, everybody you know. And And everybody's waiting for the host. And the host arrives, and everybody applauds and laughs, and he takes over the room. He's just the center of attention in the room, and he goes to the very head of the table, and he invites everyone to sit down. Well, you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable in this beautiful place, so you go to the very end of the table, and the host says, well, wait a minute. He calls you by name, and he says, come, I want you to sit by me right here. This banquet is for you. And you feel a little bit embarrassed for me. And he brings you right up next to him, and he begins to talk about all the things that he knows about you. He knew about you before you were even born. He had the color of your eyes and mind, and had the length of your hair and the color of your hair and the just everything about you, your personality, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you did well in school or whatever you did in your life. He knew every single detail. He remembered the time that you fell down and scraped your knee and no one was around and you cried. And you remember the time when you felt so lonely because you were in your room all by yourself. He remembered the time when something terrible happened to you, but he said, don't worry, I was with you each step of the way. I was there with you, and I love you, and I'm here for you, and this banquet is for you. You're the one who's most valued to the loving host because he loves you. And then he takes some oil, and he says, I want to bless you. And he pours a little bit of oil in your hair. It's warm, and you feel it there. And then he puts his hand on your head, and he just kind of rubs in the oil. And he says, you're my child. And then he prays for you. He thanks the Lord for making you just the way you are. That's the banquet. And your cup overflows because you are close to your shepherd. You're close to your God. And you feel his love and his blessing in your life. And you have no fear of the enemies around you or of anything else. You are completely safe. And you look back on your life and you say, love and mercy, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Thank you, God. And now I will dwell. I will dwell in this house with my shepherd forever, forever. How can you follow your shepherd this year? Let me give you four ideas. What I want you to do first is desire to follow him. Make it your desire to follow him. Right now, today, say, Lord, I want to follow you this year. Wherever you lead me, I know you'll be with me, but I want to follow you. Second thing is pay attention to his presence. Look for him. He'll be there. He'll surprise you in ways that he'll show up. He'll show up in the beautiful sunsets. He'll show up in the morning clouds. He'll show up in your child's smile. He'll show up in your pantry that had more food in there than you thought, and you've got a great meal that you never imagined. He'll show up all over the place in your life. There was a great writer, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, said this, "Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God." Earth is crammed with heaven, and every bush, every common bush, afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest of us sit around and pluck blackberries. I don't want to sit around the fire of God, the presence of God, and just pluck blackberries. I don't want to just, miss it. I want to take off my shoes because I see God everywhere in my life. So first, desire to follow him. Second, pay attention to his presence. The third thing is listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. It may come to you in a word from Scripture. It may come to you in a prayer as you're being quiet before him. And the fourth thing is this, rest in his will. We have such a hard time releasing control, but I want to encourage you this morning to rest. Rest. The shepherd's going to provide for you so that everything is taken care of. Now all you have to do is rest. Release control. Follow your shepherd. You have to stop resisting him and rest. In John 10, it said, the Lord is the good shepherd. It also says that he is the gate. The shepherd would often lay in the way of the sheepfold to provide protection for the sheep at night. So he was the shepherd and he was the gate. You had to go through the shepherd to get inside the sheepfold. And some of you this morning are thinking, gee, I'd love that. I'd love to be a part of the sheepfold. I'd love to have, God as my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the gate. I am the way in. Let me just read that passage as we close tonight, this morning. John chapter 10. Our Lord is saying to you this morning, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep, all who ever come before me. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Philip Keller used to say that there was a pasture next to his. He worked really hard to keep it green and not overgrazed, but the people next to him, they never showed up. The sheep just were out in the pasture all the time. They overgrazed it. It was barren and nothing but dirt. And the sheep would sometimes, they were scrawny sheep. They just had the bugs were on them. There was no shepherd in that pasture. And these poor sheep would come and they'd look through the fence and they'd just look at this green pasture that was his pasture. They'd look through the fence and they'd long to get over on the other side. They'd say, oh, I would want that so much. You can imagine these scrawny little sheep wanting to get into the pasture. Well, that may be you today. You may be that way, hungry and afraid and lonely. And you say, I really want to get into the Lord's shepherd, the shepherd's pasture. I want to get there. The way to get through is through the gate, Jesus Christ. Through me, you'll be saved. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. My prayer for you this year is that you will have life with your shepherd and that you will have it to the full.